The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, however you are listening. Welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. We are here to answer your questions from a biblical perspective. My name is Eric Stanton. I'm one of the teammates here on the Bible Information Brokers. In just a minute, I'll be introducing you to the rest of the teammates. Before I do that, let me give you the number to start calling. That number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. Or as we say, if it makes it easier to remember, 888-995-KKLA. And we're going to roll with that easier. By that, I mean, let me introduce you to the first member of our team. Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton. Daryl, you like that?
Yeah, I like that, Eric. That's very simple. I appreciate it. It's a simple way to remember. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Eric gave you the number to call at 888-995-5552. You can go ahead and start dialing them now. If you want to ask a question, get in the queue, we can set you up. We want to take as many questions as possible because through your questions, folks, we can deal with a multitude, a plethora of questions and subject matters through your questions. So please take an opportunity to call, and I'll give you other information on how you can also join us in the broadcast after I open up in a word of prayer. So why don't I do that, and then we introduce the other teammate and we get rolling. And without further ado, because our dear engineer Ozzy, the extraordinaire, as they say, is taking care of as far as all this mechanical and electronical stuff, and I appreciate Ozzy immensely. So Father God, we thank you for the privilege just of life. We thank you for breath in our body. And I just ask and pray, Lord, that as we're dedicating this time, as we're putting this time aside a week, such a short period of time to be able to focus on you and to focus on the things that you say about the various subjects that may come up. Lord, help us, not only the staff, not only the engineer, not only the people that have put this broadcast together, but the listening audience, that's the main team, Father God. We just ask and pray that as the listening audience, the teammates out there are considering how they can participate, I would ask that they all just simply pray for the broadcast as we're going on. We never want to make a mistake that it's all about you, Lord. Yes, we know that as believers, and for the unbelievers that may be listening, Lord, we just ask and pray that something that we might say today, some subject matter that might come up, that would you'll be able to use that information and draw that person to yourself. Father God, we're in a soul-winning business, and we make no qualms, and we make no apologies for it, even though we're an apologetic ministry. We are taking that apologetics and not to apologize. That's not what it means, Lord. We know what it means, and I thank you for giving us the ability to reason your word. Thank you for the ability to go into your word and find out what you say about the subject matter, and what you say is what we want to say. So, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to set aside those things that in us that may disturb this broadcast, Lord, and that we might do this broadcast to the glorification of yourself and to the edification of ourselves and every listener that would participate. So we thank you for the privilege and the honor to participate in your kingdom business in Jesus' precious and matchless name. Amen. Now, Eric, I hope you can hear me there. Can you hear me okay, brother? Are you back with us?
Yes, I can hear you, Daryl.
Okay.
And one more thing before that.
Yes.
I know we tried to get it done so it works automatically, but I would just say automatically, Facebook is live.
Facebook is live. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're trying to work on some things as we learn more and more, Eric. I really appreciate that because there's ways that we want to communicate with the people, some information, and we can do that just before the broadcast comes live, and we're going to be working on getting that set. But without further ado, I do want to bring up the other teammate here. He is patiently waiting. I don't know if it's a dugout, the cyberspace dugout, but I know telephonically he's waiting. So without further ado, I want to introduce my good buddy, Professor Craig Hawkins, who I will affectionately call PCH until the Lord calls me home. PCH, are you with us?
I am.
Well, very good, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
What, man? What did I say? I know it's something I said on the way I said it, because I always get a nice little chuckle on you, which I love. Look, I look forward to that chuckle. What's the chuckle about today, brother?
Something like electrically or something.
Electrically, telephonically.
That's a neologism. That's a new word.
You know, we're going to make them as we go, too, as well. But look, let me give the information again where the people can join us on the broadcast, PCH, where they can call in and get their question to Eric at 888-995-5552. 888-995-KKLA is the number you can dial right now. Eric will receive your call and put it in the queue. If you're on the social media, any aspect of that, and you want to join us that way through the questions, you can type them in the various platforms we have. It's Facebook, Messenger, Twitter, and Truth Social. It's the same address, Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers for the social media aspect. And if you're on those platforms, please don't forget to share. Just click that little button that's making like a right-hand turn and share that you're listening to the broadcast, and people in your contacts will be able to know that you're listening to us live now and they can join us live or in our archive show. So that's a great way to sort of evangelize, get the word out through the format that we have, and people can, you know, join us right now live, like I said, or in our archive shows. If you want to send us an email question tonight, you can do that right now tonight. The email address is liveby word. You spell it out, liveby word@AOL.com. That's liveby word@AOL.com. And there you have it. So as we're getting questions prepared, PCH, let me ask you a question. You got anything on your mind?
Nope.
Good. We want your mind clear so we can get a plethora of questions for the people and the subject matters. Mm. Now, you know, I do have a question myself, but let me see if there's anybody that's on the Facebook, anything like that. But let me get it started this way. It may be, and again, I came up with these questions, PCH, not to direct the which way we want the broadcast to go. Because, again, if we wanted to do a subject, we would just tell them, let me do a subject matter. If we do a teaching on something, we'd do a teaching. It is honestly, folks, we want to hear from you. Your questions will, if you have a question, you can almost bet many other people will have a similar question or in the subject matter that you're asking that question. So call Eric right now. Keep him busy all day long at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. So what I'll do, PCH, again, I always put my questions on hold when we have time until Eric gets things set up, or we have questions that may have come in during the week. So I'll check that out. But in the meantime, why don't we do this? Why don't we take the opportunity to utilize our dear friend Joy from Costa Mesa and see what she has to say, if we can get right into her question, okay? Let's see here. Joy.
Thanks
for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you so much.
How are you?
Well, Mike, go ahead.
No, I'm just asking, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Let's get into it. I'm doing well. Doing well.
You were away somewhere last week.
Yeah, I get away. I got back, and that was a beautiful place I went to.
Glad you get to do that.
Yes, ma'am.
They let you do that.
Thank you very much.
Well, my question comes from Deuteronomy chapter 17, and I happened to read that today. I'm in Deuteronomy, as well as the New Testament. And it's about stoning. It says in verse 2 and 3, 4, and on, it says, if there's found among you within any of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, a man or a woman who has been wicked in the sight of the Lord your God in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it is told you and you hear of it, and then you shall inquire diligently, and if it is indeed true, And on and on. And then he says, then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has committed that wicked thing, and shall stone to death that man or woman with stones. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And then he goes on to say, there's further down again, stoning. And I don't question God's, you know, that's what he, you know, to stone them. And then in the New Testament also, they were going to, you know, it says that if someone's caught in adultery, they should be stoned, you know, what Jesus did. So why stoning, Professor? Why not just, what did they have other ways to kill people? I don't know. Tell me.
Well,
do you understand? Okay, sorry.
Well, I think I understand. You're not so much asking, do we do that today? No, that was simply the main way. It was easy. Look, a lot of people didn't have swords. Swords are expensive. Other weapons. So not everybody walk around has a sword or whatever. What was the most easiest way available? Well, rocks are like everywhere. Not that I want to make light of this, but because these people.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, how could they do that? Well, the idea would be they're leading people astray. They're ultimately damning their soul. Now, of course, one doesn't believe it in the demonic realm. It doesn't believe it. People would think, oh, no, I'm actually telling the truth and all that stuff. But if it's, I would argue, it begs to differ. And so God's view was, it'd be bad enough to somebody to rip you off financially or your retirement or something like that. Now, I'm not accusing those people of necessarily trying to purposely deceive people, but the biblical view is that they are deceived, and therefore they're deceiving others. Not they're doing it intentionally, but that's the source of what they're doing. And so this is the most heinous thing you could do, is cost someone their soul. That, as Jesus said, you know, anyone who causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better that he'd never been born, or that a millstone, you know, a giant stone used to crush wheat, right, was hung around their neck and they were cast into the sea. So that's the perspective. It's just simply its availability. That's all.
Okay, that was it. They didn't have any other really way, and it was that was a serious.
Well, it's not they don't have any other way, but it's somewhere. No matter where you are, you have available. You may or may not have a sword or other weapon. But you almost always have stones are almost
stones.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Got it. That was great. I appreciate that. It was just that, you know, something I wondered about. I thought, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I want to come back to something from last week. You were asking about Revelation 3:20, right?
Right, yes.
And
yes,
pointed out, that your friend was right. The word cardia, the word for heart, is not there. But he seemed to be all upset about that. But I had mentioned that based on other passages, I typically don't say people accept Christ in your heart, because what does that mean? I mean, these aren't terms we use today or phrases that have much meaning. But
right.
So I don't use Revelation 3:20 to say invite Christ into your heart, because really it's talking about the opening the door to the lordship of Christ in the church is the context. But, as I said, there was a parallel passage, and I just want to make sure you got that. And Romans chapter 10, this is why I don't get all upset about Revelation 3:20 in the way you're talking about using it, even though I don't do it. I mean, this person's like practically calling down fire and brimstone on you for the part you read.
Right.
But listen to... Listen to Romans 10:9 through about verse 11, right? That if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So this is a parallel passage to, I would argue, to Revelation 3:20, and this one does justify the usage of the term heart, if you will. Not in Revelation 3:20, but it's clearly used here. Invite Christ into your heart. And, of course, heart in Greek and Hebrew, that would be cardia and lev, respectively, is the center of one's being. It means the core. It's who you are. Your heart includes the emotion, the intellect, and the will. Many Christians mistakenly think, oh, it's just emotions, and then there's the mind. Well, no, the heart comprises, in Hebrew and Greek, the intellect, or the mind, the will, that is volition, and emotions. And so that's who you are. That's the core of your being, your personhood. And so we are to invite Christ in, if you will, a Savior into our hearts, into our lives, into, you might have often heard this, the idea of a throne, and invite Christ to sit in the throne of our life, the center, the seat, if you will, like the old term of this, the county seat of government. The seat means the center. And so we are to invite Christ into the center of our, the core of our being. And that's why the Greek word for heart is used. That's one of its meanings. And that's why, again, I don't have apoplexy over the way some people use Revelation 3:20, even though I don't use it that way because I don't think it's really correct. But it is buttressed by Romans 10:9-10.
And Professor, two things. I so value your more than opinion, whatever, your words. And so I really have taken it to heart, and I'm very careful. But also one more, as I've talked to people this week and prayed with people, also, like, the guy doesn't know, and he's never been there, what I pray when we pray. It's a very thorough prayer, so it's not just, okay, open up the door of my heart. So, I mean, I do explain things, but I'm being a lot more careful to explain, and I do use Romans 10:9-10, really. The Lord, you confess it in my apology. So thank you, though, because I valued, that was the word, I valued your opinion, your words.
Well, great,
much,
Joy.
What
sounds,
you said, that you didn't use
good.
It.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you, and thank you for going over that again. I appreciate it.
Very good, okay. Joy. Thank you for your call, as usual.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You as well.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Living by the Word Ministries, Bible Information Brokers. Give us a call. Communicate what is your question. We want to take as many questions as we can, and we deal with various subjects that way through the question. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552, or social media is Bible Info Brokers for Facebook. That's the address, Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, Tweet, Messenger, and Truth Social. If you want to send us an email question, feel free to do so that way at livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com. PCH, I had some questions for last week, but because I was flying the friendly skies, as it were,
See what you missed out on, Daryl?
Hey, that's the great thing about archives, man. You'll be able to go, on the online through those various medias we just mentioned and be able to see what's going on and get the questions, you know, kind of reacclimated in my mind. Because, you know, PCH, I just wonder during the week when people go through the various things, they see so many images, they see so many things that come into their life and in their mind. I'm just kind of... to me personally, amazed, because I can sit up here and I know I have over 3 hours worth of questions that we can do by myself. I'm just wondering, you've been on radio and media and everything like that much longer than me, even though you're not that much younger than I am, but, you know, you're a little younger. But you've been on the air and in ministry a whole lot longer than me, PCH. And the various shows that you've done, from television to media to radio, what do you think is the reason that people will, for the lack of a better term, hesitate or deviate from getting a question asked and answered when given an opportunity?
Well, I would say, by the way, let me just say this first. You had asked me if I had anything on my mind, and I do. It's actually, I'm getting excited about going back to India and Nepal and training our pastors, Christian leaders, missionaries, and Bible translators. But we'll talk about that a little later.
We certainly will.
I thought, well, that's probably the foremost on my mind, and that the fact that I've lost three good friends in the last month or so, and, of course, my father went home to be with the Lord in the last month. So that was on my mind. But to get back to your question, though, I think, Daryl, probably the number one reason I've seen is because they're afraid they're going to look stupid. They're afraid they're going to look dumb. And they're not like, oh, I don't want to ask that. People will, if they hear my voice, they know who I am, you know, Ron and you know, Glendale or something. You know, they'll know who I am, and, boy, I'll feel embarrassed. And as I tell my students, look, the only dumb question, in my opinion, is one you don't ask, because we're family here. You're among friends. And this is a place to learn. I mean, how do we learn all the stuff that we talk about? Because we ask questions. Because you got to be willing to admit, I don't know. Oh, I think I might know, or I know I don't know. Then to be willing to ask. And, you know, people need to get over, I think we're so self-conscious sometimes of how people perceive us. And we're afraid to, well, I don't want to ask that. That's kind of obvious. Well, it's no. And what I've found, ironically, with my students over the years, generally the one brave soul who will ask a question, many times the whole class has the same question, yeah. But nobody wants to look dumb. So they're willing to go to an exam or go into the profession and not know the answer to something they should know. It's like, 9 times out of 10, practically everybody in the class has the same question. So to me, the dumb thing is simply, and I don't even like using that word, but it's, if there is such a thing, let's put it that way, it's not asking when you have the opportunity to learn something. And again, I'm sure I was a royal pain for other reasons. but I was very, you know, and inquisitive.
Yes.
And, you know, my mentors, I peppered them with questions constantly. If I had somebody in front of me, I had their ear, if you will. I would ask them question after question after question until they made me stop. That's how you learn. At least that's what one big way, I should say. So that's what I've seen, Daryl.
You know, I appreciate that, PCA, because I'm sitting up here, and I want people to, whoever's on Facebook, I want people to take a hard look at Facebook, our video section, whereby you can actually see my mug. And PCA, you know, I came from a school district of LA Unified, and I went to Inglewood. And I said I had the best time in high school, because when we were in junior high in LA Unified, you talk about somebody, you're going to get in a fight. I went to the Inglewood Unified School District, and you could talk about people all day long, and they took it like a joke. Everything was a joke. Everything was a joke. So I had to do a whole lot less fighting in high school than I did in middle school, and it was such a treat because people had opportunity. You know, I mean, they peppering you and stuff like that, but it was done like in fun, even though they were still getting on your case, and you didn't see people fighting over dumb stuff that we did in the LA Unified. I'm making that distinction and say it this way because if you take a look at the media, the social media we have, you know, on Facebook on our page right now, and you look at this hat that I'm wearing on my head, Craig, I asked myself the question, and I know my kids may say, well, Dad, you got this 70s thing going on, or you don't care. And I know I do care about my appearance. I'm not just going to try to get attention unless I'm trying to get attention. And the hat that I'm wearing on my head right now, PCH, is promoting my perfect score in golf. And the people that's on Facebook can see it, there's a question mark, so when you're behind me, you will see there's a question mark. And then when you run in front of me like really, literally, hundreds of people were doing and kind of just looking back at me to see what the other side of my hat looks like, and I turn around for those on Facebook, it has a number 54, my name, Fulton 54. So when Ken Craig, I did it on purpose, you know, with a purpose, to communicate. And so I'm just thinking about how do we communicate what's in the heart. You was talking to Joy about what's in the heart and trusting God in your heart. And I'm just wondering, how do we communicate what we really believe that would save mankind from the serious disease of SIN? Now, we're going to talk about that in the gospel as we do every week, Craig, but that's one of the things where a lot of my older guys are actually asking me that question. Why do you believe what you believe? You talk all that Jesus stuff. Why do you believe that stuff? And Craig, you know, I've been through some of my guys that passed away without knowing Christ from my understanding in our last conversations up into 90 years old. And now it seems like the Lord is just tickling my heart to be able to have a conversation with guys who are my senior and my father's age about the things of God that they're bringing up because they see that, I guess, for lack of a better term, the availability I am to talk about the subject and the wantingness to talk about the subject because how serious I take the souls of man.
Well, sure, I hear that, Daryl. By the way, I can't help but chuckle. If I was seeing the question mark on your hat and then I saw the front, Fulton 54, see, I would assume, okay, his name is Fulton.
Uh-huh.
And he's 54 years old.
not when you see this mug. If you with all this gray matter around the place, and Eric and I was laughing about that. But you know, I'm doing this all for a purpose because it's a very serious thing of this year as far as in the golf world. You know, I mean, we talked about that. I'm gonna go over it now.
But excuse me. But you know, I think of what you're saying, and I've been talking to a lot with the missions pastor where I attend church, and we doing all kinds of stuff like going to India and Nepal and everything, but about constantly sharing the faith, and because it's a privilege. And you know, I know you know this, Gerald, but I just want to mention it for a few moments. I mean, you know, when I find a new restaurant, or I find a restaurant that somebody doesn't know about, and they say I like Thai food or whatever, right? Brazilian, whatever the case may be, and you live down in this area. Well, there's a great restaurant right there, a steakhouse or you know, whatever the type of food is. I mean, I talk it up because you know I love to talk about, I love to eat more than talk about food. I like to eat it, but everybody knows me knows that the case. But I love sharing that. Or I watch people at the football games, and you know it's freezing cold, and they're you know don't have a shirt on, and they're all painted up and all that stuff, and because they're fanatics. I find a good whatever it is someone's looking for, whether it's tires or a doctor or whatever. You know, we gladly share those things and even volunteer the information sometimes when people are not asking. And I have to chuckle. I see all these infomercials on TV and or radio and all these, you know, vitamins or vitamin supplements. And my favorite thing anymore is this will change your life. You know, some goofy little electric appliance. And it's this changed my life. And I'm like, oh, give me a break. Come on. Your life's pretty shallow. But my point is people are willing to testify or get excited about all kinds of things. And I'm not begrudging them, but why would you begrudge me the right to be excited about Jesus Christ?
Yes.
As you said, Daryl, look, if you found the cure to cancer, it'd be criminal to keep it to yourself. If you found some treatment for Crohn's disease, well, I mean, just fill in the blank, whatever. I mean, we would say it's criminal not to share that with people. And yet, this is the ultimate product, for lack of a better term, Lord, forgive me, the ultimate service, the ultimate truth, the ultimate total game changer. I'm a little tired of that phrase, but game changer, life changer, and that is Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with him. So it would be criminal, I mean that literally, to not talk about Christ, and that's why every opportunity I get, I want to share the gospel.
BC, now we're
every time.
Well, let me ask this question, just in light of what you just said. Is it a violation or am I misunderstanding what Jesus said? Why cast your pearls among the swine if they don't want to hear it?
Well, I'm going to at least present it. And sometimes, though, we just assume they don't want to hear it. I mean, I had a battery die in one of my car and had called AAA, and guy comes out from a tow truck company and we get talking, it's a long story, but boy, end up getting to share the gospel and talk with him. I mean, you know, he wasn't planning on that. He came out to you know, the call was the guy's got a dead battery. Well, I did, but the point is he was there and he said something that was kind of provocative, and he opened the door. Barely, but he opened the door.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, we're talking about all kinds of stuff related to the Lord and that. And my point is because I'm looking for opportunities, right? I mean, I'm not selling a product. Some people with their, and I'm not knocking them, but their, especially their multi-level marketing stuff, they're always trying to sell something. Mm-hmm. But so you can't talk about the Lord. I mean, you can't bring Christ up in the conversation. And, you know, Daryl, I've had people just dismiss me. I've been on planes and have a guy just kind of put his headphones on and, you know, okay, done. I've had people cuss me out. I've had people try to get in a fight with me. I've seen that. Missionaries for other religions wanting to literally get in a fist fight. I've had guys cuss me up one side down the other, and I've seen people come to Christ. But what I know is you don't know until you present the gospel. And one waters one plant. Only God gives the increase. You know, so whoever plants, whoever waters, but the Lord is the one who brings the fruit. The Lord is the one who brings the harvest. And I just think we miss out on these incredible opportunities to share. And, you know, big deal. Somebody doesn't like me or cusses me out. Oh, boo-hoo, poor me. Get over it. It's like, you know, it's not like they're trying to kill you or something like that. I mean, so I believe we miss out on these incredible privileges, these incredible, for lack of a better term, not the reason we do it, but experiences of seeing God at work in our lives, of God giving you wisdom, of bringing verses back to your mind. You haven't even thought about it in years. All of a sudden, the passage that you think is relevant to the person you're talking with comes to your mind just vividly right there. So I just... The incredible privilege to share the gospel. I mean, I just don't understand why Christians are so hesitant to do that. And they're like, oh, it's kind of like earlier, only even exponentially more, why people won't even call in and ask a question. Well, they don't want to share the gospel because they're afraid, the people won't like me. They think I'm pushy. They'll think I'm a Jesus freak. They'll think that, I don't respect, them because I got to push my views on them. I mean, all these, things they imagine, they dream up in their mind, instead of just loving people, sharing the gospel. And if somebody tells me to shut up, they don't want to hear it. And I say, well, apparently, I had one guy who, after he cussed me out, he repeated the gospel to me in most blasphemous, mocking terms. And I just started laughing. He's like, why are you laughing? I'm not laughing at taking God's name in vain.
Right.
Yeah, and I just thought, well, clearly you've heard the gospel. You know what it is. I wouldn't quite say it like you do.
Right.
You obviously get the point. And actually, I ended up having a really good conversation with him after that because I wasn't offended. Like, oh, me, you can't cuss at me. And I literally just turned it around. One more, I was working a store one time. I worked for years in the grocery stores, go through college and all that, and working, doing some stuff, and there was a guy within 10 feet of me, and he was doing what's called facing, pulling product up on the shelf and making sure it's
reachable.
Well, it's reachable, yeah. Yes, but I'm also that it means that the labels are straight.
Oh, I got you, okay.
So it looks really nice, and it's accessible, and it just, frankly, it allegedly helps sales.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, so a bunch of stuff fell off the shelf, and he started taking God's name in vain, and I just, instead of getting all upset and all, I just said, wow, do you think God's really going to blank that? And he goes, what? I go, well, you think God's going to curse that?
Yeah.
I said, you just said blank, blank. And he started laughing. I got to share the gospel with that guy. And he even said, if you tried to witness to me any other way, whatever, I would have just shut you out.
You know, and that right there, Craig, is why I don't personally do cookie cutter type anything, because everyone has a different personality and all the different things. God got our fingerprints. No two fingerprints, I understand, is the same on any two human beings in the world. It has billions and billions of different patterns of fingerprints. And people have different patterns of things that they go through in life. So, I mean, if I'm spending a lot of time like I do, like on golf courses and airports and things like that, and the gospel is already going to be what is an offense to folks. It's already, going to rub people the wrong way. They think it's going to violate their style of living and all that stuff, which it may do, and it probably will. But I found it that when you're going to say something spiritual, like when someone uses the Lord's name in vain, as it were, like when people may say, Jesus Christ, I say, He is Lord. I said, well, I wish I could sing it. I would have sing a song, but right now we're golfing. But yet, since you brought it up, He is Lord. Now, I hope you had a better shot than you just did. Now, how come you just don't say the devil? Because that's a terrible shot. I mean, I just throw things out there. If they're going to be bold enough to say that, then I should be bold enough to say what I have to say as well with the personality that I have. I don't have to be that way, but that's just seen the way the personality that God got us with and we have ourselves. I would simply ask people to seriously pray to God. Use my personality to whereby I can glorify you.
Yes, and exactly. And Daryl, I look at it like I'm kind of the guy growing up more of an introvert where I could hug a wall all night and have a great time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not necessarily Mr. Social, but I love witnessing from among other reasons besides the importance of it. But you get to see what God's going to do. You have no idea how the conversation's going to go. You have no idea you're going to make a new friend or whatever the case may be. what's going to come up? And you just see God use you if you're willing to be used by Him. It's just, it's incredible. And I won't spend much more time, but I've got all these experiences and opportunities and adventures, if you will, with the Lord. And again, God gives me opportunity to talk to people, but there's got to be, I would argue there should be a willingness, first and foremost, for the pleasure. And again, if I'm willing to share, somebody asks me, I'm looking for this type of restaurant in this area, or what's a good restaurant, I'm more than happy to give my recommendation. Why would I not even just volunteer the gospel and Christ as Savior? I just don't get it. I think of John 9, last comment here for now. Jesus says, work while the day is light, work because the time is coming when it's dark and no one can work. And translation, we're going to die. Mm. There's going to be a time when you can't witness anymore. There'll be nobody to witness to. Now, as long as we have life, as long as we have breath, as long as we have health, then we can and should be sharing the gospel.
I appreciate that, PCH. I'm going to ask the listening audience that you heard us sort of make a plea or comments about you asking questions. Well, here's what I'm going to ask that you do. On any of our platforms, in any way you choose to do it, by email, social media, Truth Social, Facebook, Twitter, Messenger, or what have you, I'm going to ask that, if you don't mind, share your reason. Use as much of ink or whatever you want to call it. Use as much of characters you want to use until they don't let you use any characters anymore. And let us know some of your experiences. I mean, I personally will read them all. I mean, because I have control of my time more so than Craig and Eric, because I'm double retired and I have flight benefits. So while I'm in the airport, there's a lot of things I can do. And I could be reading your comments about why do you feel that you won't ask a question to solidify things that people might learn through you and then think about it that way, or why you may not have shared the gospel and opportunities. If you don't mind sharing your heart, you might not want to do that because that'll put you on the front street too. I'm just asking folks to start loosening up, because you don't know when your time is going to be over, and what a mistake it would be not to take advantage of, especially if you're a believer, the opportunity to share what God so graciously gave to you. Well, Craig, that's very interesting. So why don't we do this? I give the phone number out of 888-995-5552 to call Eric and Bible Info Brokers for the social media aspect of our broadcast. Ask questions. You can even send comments that way as well at Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, Messenger, Tweet, and Truth Social. LiveByWord@AOL.com. LiveByWord@AOL.com is the email address where you can send us questions as well. But I want to do it. I'm going to go real quickly to the phone. PCAG, we're going to come back and give people the opportunity to do something I think they need to consider very strongly. But right now, let's go to Agora and talk to, and if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, please correct me,
it's Tani.
Tani. Right. How do you spell it? I want to make sure Eric spelled it right.
Sure, T-A-W-N-I.
And say it again for me.
Tani.
That was going to be my third guess. Thank you, Tani. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. And I so appreciate your program. I listen every week. I really do. And I just was wondering if you guys had heard of a movie that's coming out, limited showing this week, just two nights. It's called The Ark, A-R-K, The Ark and the Darkness, Unearthing the Mysteries of Noah's Flood.
I personally have not. PCH, have you?
No, I haven't. So it's about the whole events, or is it about the ark, or is it the ark and the flood, and evidence for the flood?
Evidence for the flood, exactly. Yeah, using recent discoveries of the fossil record, science, ancient history, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a 2-hour movie documentary, and it's from the award-winning film director from Genesis, Paradise Lost, and it's limited showing. I've already got my tickets. I'm heading to the theater, but it's only the 20th and the 21st of this week.
So the 20th and 21st, and just certain theaters then, I
just
assume?
Exactly. I highly recommend it. I mean, in all honesty, I truly believe, just like the Lord, after he was resurrected, he came to Thomas because Thomas was doubting, And he truly wants us to believe, and I really believe that these, we're getting closer and closer to the end, and the Lord is revealing to us more and more so that we can believe. And so I, you know, was just wondering if you'd heard of the movie, and I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's a 2-hour movie, but
I haven't, but thank you for the recommendation. We appreciate that.
And Duane, before you go, actually the church I go to, we have about 15 people who literally just got to Turkey the day before yesterday. They're sending pictures all over the website showing all the good Turkish food they're eating and everything like that. PCH, is it not that the Ark is somewhere in Turkey in that area?
Well, that's one view, that it's on Mount Ararat.
Yeah.
I've been intrigued by these subjects, so I'm very interested in what our sister's talking about. So there was a book done years ago, many books, but I think In Search of Noah's Ark by John Warwick Montgomery and others. And it is interesting. I don't claim to be an expert, but my understanding is there's a debate among Christian thinkers. Some think the flood was local, and some believe it was covered the face of the earth, and I actually hold the latter. And it's intriguing being up in the mountains and you see signs of water and or finally fossils of trilobites or whatever. And you're like, how did this stuff get up here? And then you see places where so-called, not the periodic table, that's chemistry, but where the so-called columns, if you will, of earth and sedimentary rock.
Yeah, like in Grand Canyon.
Upside down and back and forth and everything else. But I remember even being up in the mountains, and I remember I had a earth science class in junior college, and I remember finding like shark's teeth and stuff like that. And you're like, how did it get up here?
Yeah.
And you're talking 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 feet. I mean, okay, that's a pretty big flood.
Yeah. It's true. It's very, very true. And, you know, I really believe it's all around us if we just really consider it and look and give it some thought. I really, you know, it's just the geology and just the atmosphere, just the cataclysmic atmosphere. You know, when you've got, you know, the Lord, as you know, I'm not telling you guys anything new, but as you know, yes, there was the rain, but it also says that the Lord broke up the fountains of the deep.
Mm.
And you had tons of water rushing in seconds, you know, in seconds, just completely flooding. So you knew that the earth exploded.
Catastrophe.
So you know, you've got volcanoes and all the dust blowing miles and cutting off the sun. You know, you had the hot water, the steam, and then the sun being cut off. So now you have instant freezing, and the mastodons that were found with springtime vegetation in their stomachs, and yet they were flash frozen. You know, how does that happen?
Well, can I say this? I have an assignment for you when you finish watching the movie. I don't know what the name of that show was, what they used to do. I don't watch many movies, but because they kind of bore me and I figure it out too fast. But if you don't mind, after you see the movie, can you come back and give us a little 20 report? I'm saying your name wrong. I apologize. 20 report. Like, you know, we'll offer you a couple of minutes on the broadcast to give like your thumbs up or thumbs down since you brought the movie to us and suggested it. When you go see it, you mind hitting us back and tell us what you thought about it. Now, Craig may go see it too because he likes movies, I believe, more than me. And he may see it as well. So I would love to hear how you guys think about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Thank you very much. I sure will. I'd love to do that.
We look forward. So that way you would go, what is it, Craig? 2 thumbs up or a thumbs down or whatever it is, whatever they be doing. I don't know.
Cisco and Ebert.
There you go. I couldn't think of the name. Well, because we always mess up Penn and Teller, right? Which one talks? So if you'd be so kind as to do that, we really appreciate you giving us a call back after you see it.
I sure will.
Right.
I sure will. Okay.
God
well,
bless
thank you.
You
very much. Thank you.
No, I appreciate you. Bye-bye now. All right, say your name one more time for me.
Tawny. It just reminds, it does, sounds like Connie, but with a T.
Tawny.
Connie, there
Connie.
You go.
Okay, got it. Okay, I remember that because I have a dear friend named Connie. Okay, thank you very much.
You're
all right.
Very welcome.
God bless.
Thank you.
Connie.
God bless you.
Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
PCH, you know what? Since we did give us a little alphabets on, you know, spelled like Connie, why don't you do me a favor? If you can let the people know, we have alphabet giving. And I only say it that one way, but in reality, it's a very important aspect of our ministry where people actually support us for the last 25-plus years. That's why we're still here at PCH. And not because they're paying a salary, because we don't get one. And anytime we want to give a player about a raise, we always give ourselves a raise because we know that whatever it is, times five times zero is the same. So, PCH, if you don't mind letting the people know, and I'll set up and give them information on how they can actually execute what you're about to tell them.
Well, thank you, Daryl. Appreciate that. Indeed, three basic ways, there's many ways people can give, but three places the funds go, we like to be very explicit and very transparent. You're not transparent because you say you're transparent. You're transparent that you hold your records open and people know exactly where the funds go. And yes, the first one is just the general fund. That's the easiest one, the GF, the general fund. I mean, and that's where the radio program is paid for that, out of that, the website, the webmaster, all those things that just keep the ministry running, but particularly for the website and trying to keep it updated and loading up new materials, new programs. And the materials we give out for free, I got a bunch of hungry pastors, Daryl, and by hungry, I mean, well, food-wise, but yeah. I mean, spiritual food. Mm-hmm. I'll be lugging a bunch of books with me and all that. And, of course, we never charge them. We don't go, well, here's the book now. You owe me so much. I mean, that's not how this thing works. We give that stuff away. We're so much better off here in America, financially at least. So we lug over all the materials we can. I'm always way over the weight limit. You're only supposed to have like 7 pounds in your carry-on bags, and one of mine was weighing 50 pounds, and the other one was 35. I had to chuckle. I was carrying that around. That's not my check-on bag.
That was your workout, Craig. That was your workout to bring it on.
Oh,
you know,
I know.
Good move. Yeah. Good move.
I'll tell you. But seriously, so just the general funds, and then there's the TOT, the training of trainers, and I was talking with Hmong and a bunch of other leaders we're going to be doing this with in June, the last week of June. I'll be going to Nepal either before or after, long story, but at any rate, the last week of June. But where we train pastors, Christian leaders, missionaries, and Bible translators, we further equip them for the great ministry that they're already doing. These people just have incredible ministries and dedicated to the Lord, faithful, and we go there to help equip them, often giving them a financial donation, sure, but we pay for their training, the teaching we do over there, the room and board, travel. We take care of all that. And I got our good friend Ranjit, who had to flee from Manipur in India, where they were literally killing believers, burning churches down, burning whole neighborhoods down. Being a Mete, from the tribe of the Mete, he had to flee for his life. They were trying to kill him. He had to go to another state. We're going to bring him up to another place in India and continue to train him and have him develop more in his teaching ability. And he's already really good, but even more so. Because, you know, we're not going to live forever, and we didn't go there to make ourselves indispensable. We're replaceable, and we really believe that. So we'll be training people like my dear friend Ranjit and a whole bunch of pastors, a number of them coming down from Nepal for the training. And that takes funds, though. But we take those funds and we pay for their travel, again, the room and board and supplies, the training's all free for them, what have you. So that's the TOT, the training of trainers. And then there is the Faithful Friend Fund, the FFF, the Faithful Friend Fund, and that is to pay the health insurance premium for our dear brother Brian, his widow, Harry. That's to help provide there because he was faithful, she's faithful, and that's basically where the funds go, the general fund, the TOT, and the Faithful Friend Fund. And that really, those three ways is really pretty much how all of the funds that come in, that's where they go. And you know, Daryl, we take this as a sacred trust and an obligation to be faithful and dispense of these funds. And I just had I got to say one more thing. My brother Hmong was talking to him, the main guy we work with, Pastor Hmong, mm-hmm. in India. And he goes, Craig, are we going to be able to pay these guys travel? And I said, Hmong, I'm planning on it. I'm planning, you know, I believe the Lord's going to raise the people up that we will have the funds in place that we can pay for all their travel. By our standards, it's pretty pretty minimalistic, but it still is money.
It's exactly. I mean, again, it's perspective. And let me just give a real perspective here. You, if you go to our website, and Craig, I appreciate you giving the information on where it's going to. Here's how very simply you can do it. When you go to our website at BibleInfoBrokers.com, you're going to see, first of all, you're going to see about a virtual Bible study. There's no charge to join that, so by all means, click that. I mean, that's just a real quick advertisement. And see, Brother Sal, my man been supporting this ministry for years. I still owe Sal, and so I'm going to say it out loud, I still owe Sal a trip to Hawaii. We got to work that out. He knows what I'm talking about. Don't be jealous, Craig. It's not you weren't in the contest. But anyway, but yeah, so you see the virtual Bible study, contact Sal. Please, please, please join in the Bible study. So if you don't belong to one or you don't do it yourself, take an opportunity to get into the Word of God. But when you go to our link there and you scroll down and you see where it says support and donate, if you click that icon on top or just scroll down and you see it, there's a very one paragraph that explains how you can give online. And just follow the instructions on there. Support and donate on BibleInfoBrokers.com, and you'll be able to support us that way. Now, that is a very good way to do it. The most preferred way, before I give you the most preferred way, I'm going to do a crescendo on that. I'm going to say if you're going to send anything in the mail, a letter or anything that has to do with you having your bank do it, are you going to mail it off and negotiate an instrument, check, money order, what have you? Don't send cash, please. Please don't send cash. We appreciate that. It's just too messy in regards to how that should be handled. So just send a check, money order, or cashier's check, however you're going to do it, whether your bank's going to do it or you're going to do it yourself. Make the envelope, very important, make the envelope in the checkout to Live by Word or LBTW, Live by Word, Living by the Word, anything like that, and get the mail to us. And that's going to be at Post Office Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Let me say it again, very simply, very slowly. Make the envelope out to Live by Word or LBTW, and also on the check you can do the same thing, and mail it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. That is so super important. That way the mail won't get caught up, get sent back, and all that. Slow down the process, and we really appreciate that in advance. Now, the absolute preferred method that I'm going to suggest to you, because it takes no fees out of this at all, is by Zelle. Z-E-L-L-E. If you have an account, a bank account anywhere, I think all banks, major banks do Zelle. Credit unions, I believe, do Zelle. Check it out. Just say, hey, I heard this thing about Zelle. How can I do Zelle? I'm going to donate, and I want to make sure that 100% of my donation gets there. That's what's happening now. That may change it in the future, but right now, it still 100% goes through Zelle. And the email address, which you can set it up with your bank, or if you don't know how to do it online, is livebyword@aol.com. The same one you can send a question to us. That's livebyword@aol.com for the Zelle donation. And we really thank you in advance. Now listen, folks. Hey, Ted, I see your call. We're going to get you on the other side of the break. Folks, if you want to call in now while we're going to take a break, you're going to hear some music in about 15 to 20 seconds. I'll be playing in the background. Call Eric right now. He has open lines ready to receive your phone call. We want him to earn all of his pay, the no pay that he gets. He's so gracious to be working with us. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. Call Eric right now. Everything else on social media platform, Facebook, Truth Social, Messenger or Twitter is Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers. Send that message, send that question in that way. Don't forget you can make your comments and everything that we talked about earlier. And if you want to send us an email question, I already told you the email address, same one you're going to use for Zelle. That's livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com. Ozzy, thank you for that music. Interlude, we'll take a break now and be back on the other side with some very important messages for you. God bless.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn.
deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.